Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. What will life be like after the coronavirus? We've just declared, not it's ended, that's not the statement, but that we're going to go back to normal. We're going to open things back up in America, and I'm thankful for that. Don't you get me wrong. I'm thankful that maybe now Christians will come out of the closet. Christians can come from under the bed and go back to church, where we should have been the entire time serving the Lord and not frightened and panic-stricken, because the government says that's the right mindset to have, is to be frightened and panic-stricken rather than faith in God. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it would seem that our government has just declared that our Bill of Rights can now be exercised. Keep in mind, as I've told people so many times, I'm a central biblicist and a constitutionalist. I believe in the Word of God from cover to cover, even the cover of my Bible that says genuine leather, I believe it. And so I believe the Bible. I'm a central biblicist, but I'm also a constitutionalist. I believe that God ordained and foreordained through our founding fathers and our founding documents that we would have a nation that no other nation has seen, no other nation has experienced, no other nation has had, a document as we have that's called the Constitution, wherein we find our Bill of Rights. But once again, the question is, as we open things back up, will it become normal? But can we really possibly ever become what is normal? Let me remind you what we're being told now, ladies and gentlemen. And then we want to look at these issues. And then we want to talk about what does the Bible say and what does this point to? Where are we going from this? You see, we need to look at the Scripture and understand what God is saying, what God is doing, and why God's allowing these things to take place. Somebody said, it's God's judgment being poured out upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe that we're seeing the progressive increasing of the judgment of God upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
And as a result of that, we're seeing the increasing of things taking place in the weather, the increasing things taking place from the standpoint of governmental intrusion upon our rights as Christians, and the ultimate persecution of Christians in a public fashion that I never dreamed possible would take place as we've seen it just in the past 3 months in America. But let's just review some of the things now about going back to normal. And then you ask the question, as I review this, ladies and gentlemen, can that be called normal? For example, businesses are told that they cannot allow customers to enter into their business if they have the virus. Now, listen carefully. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx are all advocating this, and it's being basically the track that we're opening back up on, that businesses have the responsibility of being sure that their clientele, their customers, being protected. So they're being told, this is one of the things that they've bounded about now, that a business owner has the responsibility of having someone stand outside of the door of his business. And if you're a customer, you're about to walk in, to take your temperature. If you have an elevated temperature, what is called a fever, by the way, I was just talking with Pastor Davis before the broadcast. I'm always amazed with these white jacketed folks that are supposed to be brilliant, that they say they need to take your make sure you don't have a temperature. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a temperature, it's because you're dead. If you have an elevated temperature, that's what they ought to be saying, or if you have a fever. But to say that you make sure they don't have a temperature is an anomaly. It's an impossibility not to have a temperature if we're alive and breathing. We're going to have a temperature. But the question is it an elevated temperature? Do you have a fever? But they're saying that the business owners have the responsibility of making sure that they do not allow a customer to come in that might have an elevated temperature, i.e. a fever, that would indicate he has a virus. And they're saying that that must be done until everybody in America is tested, out of your rank liberals, the loose likes lost liberals, the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats are saying that we need to have everybody tested. Ladies and gentlemen, we've never had a disease, we've never had a pandemic of any type where there's a prerequisite requirement to get back to normal to have every human being tested. And Dr. Fauci is saying that we need to have some type immunization certificate so that once you've been tested and you do not have the virus, that you can have that certificate, that using that certificate you can use to go into a business or to a restaurant and to be able to freely enter because you are virus-free and you're okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the flip side of that is that would be saying dividing the populace, that some are considered as having the plague of some type, as you find in Numbers 13 and 14, where the lepers had to stand outside the city, put a mask on their face or the hand over their mouth and scream unclean, unclean, unclean to everybody that's passing them. That's what I picture when I see what they're saying that business owners need to do. In fact, there's another suggestion by the liberals and the Marxists and the socialists on the left, most of them that are talking this, wearing the white jackets, that's supposed to mean that they're authoritative and that we should simply bow, kiss the boots, and say, yes, sir. They're saying that they need to have not just the certificate of immunity that says you're okay, but an outward evidence of that by wearing some type of band on your upper arm. They suggested a light blue elastic band or silk or a cloth band that you'd have on your arm to show as you walk in a business or as you walk in a restaurant, somebody can look down at you and not think, oh, he might give me the virus. They can look at your band color and say, he's okay. He doesn't have the virus. Let him in. Let him buy, sell, trade, rent, or to live. Ladies and gentlemen, that bodes well, it might sound, but it is absolutely foreshadowing the coming day in Revelation chapter 13, when the Antichrist will say that you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't live, you can't rent, you can't go to school, you can't drive a car, you can't go into a restaurant or business until you have the mark, which indicates that you're safe, that you're okay.
Amen.
Pastor, that's what I see that's taking place, that we're turning this thing into, and God's using it. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare misunderstand. Man's doing it, but God is superintending, and God is sovereign. God's still on the throne. God still is in charge. He's not going on a vacation. He's not asleep. He's not so aged and impotent that he can't do anything. He's the one that's in control. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're watching the foreshadowing of the coming day after the rapture of the church, when the Christian, those that get saved during the days of the tribulation, will have to accept the mark, i.e. the band on the arm, the number on the head of the hand, which will be part of the vaccination process that we'll talk about in a minute, that's coming from Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that's pushing for a vaccination. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx both are on the foundation board with Bill Gates, with his foundation. Both of them are peddling the lie that's coming out of Bill Gates that says that the only way America can be safe, the only way the world can be safe, is by a vaccination.
My.
Ladies and gentlemen, Google it if you've got any doubts what I'm saying. Google Bill Gates Foundation and his vaccination in Kenya, his vaccinations in India, his vaccinations in any other parts of the world where he's introduced it and they've allowed him to come in. The nation of India now has a major class action suit against Bill Gates Foundation because of sterilization of their women under the guise that he was giving a vaccination to protect them from malaria, et cetera, et cetera. The same thing in parts of Africa, where he's done the very same thing in Kenya, for example. And as a result of that, thousands died and multiplied millions are sterilized today as a result of the Bill Gates vaccination that was supposed to be to help them offset viruses and diseases. But keep in mind, Bill Gates is a eugenist. Bill Gates is a globalist. Bill Gates wants to reduce the population on the globe by 100 million people.
My.
And now I can tell you this right off. If I can make a fast beeline to this, Pastor Davis. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Pastor Glenn Davis. He's pastoring a church up in Georgia, and he's driven in this morning to be with us in the studio so that we can talk about these things together. I pray that what he says and what I'm saying will be a blessing to you today. And keep in mind that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917 is the telephone number. Gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question or your comment. Bill Gates is a globalist, and he wants to reduce the population. I can tell you now, Will I take a vaccination if it comes to it? No. Would I recommend that you take the vaccination if they come up with it tomorrow? No. Because number one, first and foremost, they're fast tracking, supposed the investigation and the testing of it. And there's no guarantee, there's no assurance that it will not do major, major bodily harm and or kill you if you were to take the vaccination. So don't you dare think that I'm going to advocate in any fashion that we need to close down America and keep it closed until there's a vaccination, or that we need to go around saying unclean, unclean until there's a vaccination. I believe that we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that in America, some of the states never imposed a ban on the people and a restriction. And those states, if you please, went to the top of the curve and were able to bend the curve more quickly than we, the states where we've had everybody locked in, hidden under the beds and in the closets.
My.
So that tells us something. In fact, I've got some documented evidence and information where some of the major researchers says the fastest way to end a virus is to let it run its course without the sequestration, without the quarantine, and without shutting the system down. And I'm opposed to believe that approach is the best, because it's always worked in the history of America.
Amen.
But we're talking
well,
about,
know,
ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
Dr. Youngblood, what I've been doing, and I thank God for what you just got through saying, I've been, all the Christians, you know, that I've been speaking to lately, I've been letting them know that they really need to count this particular time a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a blessing in disguise for us, basically, because we are not in that time where you have to receive that mark.
That's right.
True. I mean, it could lead to that.
It's headed there,
you
yes.
know, and we know that that's the direction it's
yes.
going.
Yes.
But my message to every Christian out there is that look up, check up. You're going up.
That's right.
We're getting out of here sooner or later. But what
Brother,
you have
I'm ready.
To do, I mean, this is a charge to keep that you have and a God to glorify. You should be out there trying to make sure that all of your sisters and brothers have their record straight with God.
Amen.
You should be out there trying to make sure that all of your unsaved family members come on over into the Ark of Safety right now before it's too late.
Amen.
One day that door is going to be closed. Yes. That door of opportunity is going to be closed.
Yes.
But we need to realize right now, this is where it's going.
That's right.
So we don't have time to pick flowers by the wayside.
That's right.
This is a serious matter.
Absolutely. I mean, you touched on that, and it triggered in my mind. We need the God's vaccination.
Amen.
It's called salvation.
Amen.
That is the protection from ultimate death, the death that is brought about by sin. And we need to have that vaccination.
Amen.
Or we need to have a Bill Gates vaccination that's supposed to protect us from the coronavirus. And I'm opposed to that, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't gotten the drift of what I'm trying to say, I'm absolutely opposed to that. And by the way, we're talking about now, what we're opening up the government. We're supposed to be going back to normal. But businesses will become the tool of government in order to report you, sequester you, quarantine you if you do not have the band, if you do not have the vaccine immunity card, or if you do not go carry out the proper, the proper etiquette as required by CDC and the World Health Organization. By the way, that's a joke, World Health Organization. They spend less than 4% of the total budget, for health purposes on a global level. And yet over $200 million out of the budget last year was spent on Dr. Tedros's personal travel around the globe. And I'm thankful that President Trump has said we're going to withhold any funding to the World Health Organization until
Amen.
We further investigate.
Amen. I think that was the right move.
That's a right move, absolutely, brother.
Amen.
Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, every American must have the virus test and get that immune card, the card that will allow you to freely move about and buy, sell, and eat, and so forth. And without that, you won't be able to. Brother Davis, that goes back to Revelation chapter 13 with the Antichrist stepping on the scene. And the only way that somebody be able to buy, sell, or trade or to move about would be to have the mark. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for 50, 60, 70, 100 years, every conservative theologian has wondered, how do we get to that point? What kind of mark? What will it be? And back just a few years ago when Verichip, V-E-R-I, Verichip Corporation out of Tampa, Florida, had invented back in 1988, they came out with the first little, about the size of a grain of rice, the little chip called the VeriChip, V-E-R-I-C-H-I-P. Google that. That was in 1988 where that was first developed. And it was thought then that that's the key. That's what it'll be. That'll be inserted under the skin, either in the head or in the hand, and that will be your identification mark. Ladies and gentlemen, it's gone far deeper and far broader than that. Bill Gates now is the one that introduced the ID 2020. Right now in your driver's license, if you have a driver's license in any state, if you have the new driver's license, it has the ID 2020 verification chip in it, which carries all of your personal identification, and you cannot get on an airplane and fly any place in America or across the globe without that driver's license. By the way, you have to have a driver's license, an ID, to get on an airplane, but they're telling us you don't have to have an ID to vote. There's a problem with that. You have to have an ID to go to the hospital. You go to the hospital, go to the doctor's office. They need your ID, a photo ID, something that verifies who you are. They're saying you don't have to have that to vote, but you got to have it to go to a doctor. You got to have that to get on an airplane. You got to have that to get into any federal building. You got to have that to get into any local municipality and their closed doors where they check you before you go in. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about getting back to normal. Is it possible to have life normal in America after the coronavirus? And my answer is it would be an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen. We'll never go back to what we call normal politically. We'll never go back to what's called normal socially. We'll never go back to what's called normal spiritually. We'll never go back to what's called normal ethically. We have left those mores and the foundation, and I believe we have left it for good. But as Pastor Davis said just a moment ago, we are watching this take place, and it's a blessing in disguise because we need to get our friends ready, our family ready to meet Jesus Christ, because one day, very soon, the rapture of the church is going to take place, and then the Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, as he's called in the scripture, will step on the scenes and as a dictator will rule the globe with absolute devastating results on the face of God's green earth. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question and the comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, I'm going to say this as quick as I can. The final point is made by you and Pastor Davis sitting there together today, and I will be finished when you hear me say that. I am I'm a graduate of the summa cum laude seminary of kitchen theology, so everybody should take my words lightly, perhaps. And I said that in a 392-page book I wrote. In every chapter, I reminded the folks who were reading it, who were kind enough to do so, that I'm not a trained theologian. But this trained theologian, untrained theologian, currently has in his hands a 21-page spiral-bound document that he sent to the City Council of Jacksonville on October 25th, 2016, says one man from Northeast Florida pushes back against the darkening shadow cast by Jacksonville. In that, I had seven warnings to the City Council of Jacksonville because of particular issues they were supporting at the time, which said essentially, we're under God's judgment, we'll see it soon. Then in March of 2019, I wrote the head of the GOP of Jacksonville and said the same thing, and said we would see God's judgment before 18 months from the date that I wrote him. And then thirdly, in a letter to the vice president of CBN News on the 2nd of January, pulling out of a project that I was trying to get this gentleman to become involved with, when I realized that something very bad was about to happen, I said, I'll no longer be seeking to do this project because at that time, it was aimed at the director, Pat Robertson. I said, as Pat Robertson knows, we have now entered into God's judgment. So that was right at the beginning of this thing. Now, I'm not trying to be a clairvoyant or anything else, but for biblical reasons, perhaps from my kitchen theological seminary days, for biblical reasons, I knew something that was coming. Now, here's what I want to say, and this is the end, and then I will talk about you and the good that you and Pastor Davis are doing. I have withheld my judgment for a number of reasons on what we're in right now, because I don't think we really understand the magnitude of what we're in. In fact, if I'm correct, based on what Richard Nixon wrote in his book, The Real War, in 1980, then the end result of this is going to require some very violent action. But I wasn't prepared to say anything to this point, but here's what I do want to say. Nothing is done in a Christian's life or world that is not for our good.
Amen.
And that's not taking Romans 8:28 out of context.
That's right.
Everything is purposed by the Creator to bring about His ends, which are good. If we look at what's happening right now, this has been a necessary correction for our nation. This is a warm-up. This is a preseason event for what is going to happen, the message we need to be declaring. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
The kingdom of heaven this time is not the suffering servant. It's the white general on a horse that has a name tattooed on his thigh that no man knows. We are in a time where God is giving us one final opportunity because of this crisis to see good and evil polarized, to be able to in our ignorant state that we're in, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know that verse.
Yeah,
we are so ignorant spiritually. We are so ignorant intellectually that we can't discern right from wrong anymore. We cannot do it. And so we have fallen into God's judgment. And based on the record of history, it's been coming for a long time. So I could put it in writing and be called what Bill Hay, good friend of mine, local talk show host, says, you know, Woody is the local religious nut. Well, that's fine. I'll be the religious nut.
Amen.
But scripture,
straight on the right bolt.
History tells us what's going to happen because it's never not happened before in history.
Yes.
We are in God's judgment, the beginning of it, and this perturbation of it is just to let us get ready. Now, here's what applies to you and Pastor Davis. The issues in America right now are very much black and white. And when two men from rather disparate backgrounds can sit together on a radio broadcast and say, brother, we're in a mess, and we brought it down ourselves,
right,
and can say what you just said, and then I'll let you, without telling you what you said, think about what you said just as you took this phone call. When you say what you are saying, you're making this point that a black pastor and a white pastor from rather different backgrounds have come to the same conclusion and are preaching the same very unpopular message.
Right.
You're
Amen.
Preaching with only 10% of Christians, I believe, black Christians and white Christians, and I can prove those numbers. 10% of black Christians, 10% of white Christians are the only ones that are really getting the message. But God's purpose in what He has sent upon us now is to bring black and white together. White because we were deceived in the 16th century by one aspect of the preaching of the Reformation, and that was that the church replaced the Jews, and it began a declension that set us up to not be able to recognize the time we live in. In the black church, Dr. James H. Cone preached the same thing out of Columbia Theological Seminary and has taken captive the black church. Now step forward a representative of the white Protestant church and a member of the black Protestant church who are saying, we agree on a very important issue in spite of the fact that the world is doing what Bill Hay does to me. Call you a religious nut. I love Bill. I know that you love the rest of the world. You don't want to see anybody perish. But the reality is what's happening right now is not bad. It is good. It is causing us to understand right from wrong, to choose between the Creator of heaven and by default or by choice, our father Satan, which that 90% of the world is going to be lost anyway, and
that's
are
right.
going to follow him there.
That's
you
right.
and Reverend Davis sitting in that chair today in agreement are right on.
Amen.
Under God's judgment, this portion is going to go away, but what's coming is unbelievable. You don't want to go through it. We need to tell the world, repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is nigh. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let me say on to that, brother, thank you for those comments. They are very heartwarming and very valuable. I'm sure that a lot of other listeners out there, you know, should be listening, you know, to hear, you know, exactly what you said. And let's, you know, be for real. Let's take this to heart. We need to know this and understand this. We are living in perilous times.
Absolutely.
Now, this Bible said that, know this. This is what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 said. This know. We're not guessing. We're supposed to know that we're living in perilous times.
That's right.
Listen, I'm going to say this. I want Dr. Youngblood to wrap this up. We're getting out of here in just a few minutes. Hillary Clinton called us, everybody. Yeah, she just put everybody in one category, a basket of deplorables.
That's right.
Okay. If you are a Christian on today, you are in that basket.
Mm-hmm.
She hates Christians.
Right.
Now, all of those that's on the left, which is on the side where she is, and others that may be in that same company, are working against the Christian community in all kind of different ways. And a lot of it is unbeknownst because a lot of people are uninformed.
That's right.
This is why we are here. We're trying to make sure that you hear us.
Yes.
Dr. Youngblood and I are sounding the trumpet.
Amen.
On all ends to make sure that all people know everywhere.
Amen.
If we can't get together down here, forget about going to heaven.
We're in trouble.
You're not going to even go up there. We got to get it together down here.
Amen.
When
Amen.
We get together with that one accord and let our voices be heard, let this government know that we know that you're violating our rights.
That's right.
We're not saying take a sign and go out there and protest, start a riot. We're not trying to do that. But we want you to know that you have rights according to the Constitution.
That's right.
Don't sit back and just let them run all over you. Let them know that you know what your rights
Amen.
Are.
That's one of the things, Brother Davidson, I'm glad that you brought that up, because in wrapping up the broadcast, one of the things we're talking about, are we going back to normal? The answer is no. No. How do we know that? Because, number one, we know that we're in the last of the last days. As Brother Davis just said, the perilous times. The word perilous from the Greek text means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult. And that's what we're faced with today. And as we go back to what they're calling normal now so that we can go back to life, it is an impossibility to call it normal when across the nation, ladies and gentlemen, we have adopted the approach of taking drones, for example, to use to police the people. Here's an article that says, coronavirus spurs police to deploy talking drones in Florida, New Jersey, to enforce social distancing. As authorities enforce social distancing in the battle against the coronavirus, don't be surprised if you hear reminders coming from the sky. Police Department in Florida and New Jersey have drones with pre-recorded warnings that will be deployed if crowds do not follow the coronavirus guidelines, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, down at Daytona Beach, they just introduced them this week. Ladies and gentlemen, where drones are flying over, and that drone will tell you that you're too close together, you need to be separated. If you do not do so, then you will be issued a $1,000 ticket. And also with the drones in New Jersey and in Daytona Beach, and it's all going to be all over the nation, they will be able to take your temperature from the sky, and it will read the temperature between 99 and 105 degrees. And if you have a temperature that says that you might have the virus, you'll be sequestered, you'll be quarantined, and you'll be put in the hospital until they determine that you can be free after 14 days. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about looking at what's going to take place after the church is raptured out in the days of the tribulation. So let's wrap up with this, Brother David, saying to our listeners, you need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Luke 21:28. Because Jesus Christ is coming, the rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God, and then the days of the Antichrist will be real. We're seeing a sampling of that. We need to be ready, get our friends ready and our family ready, say yes to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
Wednesday Fellowship Meal Bible Study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.